Chapter 40. The Koch Brothers Hate Your Grandchildren. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Unless there are no fish. Maimonides and Al Franken. A note on that. Global climate change is destroying our ocean's coral reefs, home to our planet's most bountiful fisheries, and accelerating the rise of jellyfish blooms, which sound mysterious and beautiful, but are actually deadly to fish farms. In my 2008 campaign, we raised $23 million, which was widely and accurately seen as an insane amount of money. But it pales in comparison to the nearly $1 billion that Siegfried and Roy Koch, often referred to just as the Koch brothers, pledged to spend, personally and through their fundraising network, on federal, state, and local elections in the 2016 cycle. $1 billion isn't really that much to the Koch brothers. You can find that much in change going through their couch. Between them, they are worth more than $87 billion, much of it from fossil fuel. And all that money didn't just buy them an invitation to a nice fundraiser or make it so that members of Congress would take their calls. Because of the Koch brothers and their ilk, the entire Republican Party has become a party of climate denial. In the last presidential primary race, not one Republican candidate was willing to support any federal action to combat climate change. This is, of course, nuts. In December 2015, I traveled with nine of my Democratic Senate colleagues to the COP21 climate conference in Paris, where 196 countries signed on to an ambitious and unprecedented agreement to tackle climate change as a global community by setting limits on greenhouse gases. Before the conference, we met with a delegation from the British Parliament. Every member we met with, including the Conservatives, knew that climate change is an existential threat. Virtually everyone in the world believes that climate change is real and is caused by human beings, except Republicans in the United States. Especially the people who know best. 97% of climate scientists agree that climate change is real and caused by human activity. And I suspect the other 3% are being paid by the fossil fuel industry. Let's do a little thought experiment here. Let's say you went to your doctor for a checkup and he told you this. Okay, you've got to go on a diet and stop smoking. You're 50 years old. You're very overweight and your father died of a heart attack at age 51. You've really got to cut down on the carbs and start exercising. Sounds bad, but you want a second opinion, so you go to another doctor. Oh, boy, says the second doctor. I see here your father died of a heart attack at about your age. You'd be insane not to go on a diet and start working out, and for God's sakes, quit smoking. Not what you wanted to hear, so you schedule another appointment. Oh, my God, says the third doctor. It's amazing you're still alive. It would be irresponsible of me not to send you right away to this well-being center at Duke for a 90-day stay. Well, that certainly seems like a drag. So you schedule another appointment, and then another, and then another. After 32 opinions, you're still not happy. But then you see the 33rd doctor. It's taken a while to schedule all these appointments, so by now you've gained so much weight that you have to go around in one of those motorized carts. It's a good thing you came to me, the 33rd doctor says. I'm sure other doctors have been telling you to do all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you to keep doing exactly what you've been doing. Keep smoking. Watch a little more TV. And eat more fast food. Did you see Arby's now has this sandwich where the entire bun is made out of cheese? You see, those other doctors are in the pocket of big fresh fruits and vegetables. Republicans know that if they concede what climate scientists, the Defense Department, the Muppets, and virtually every other country in the world know, that global warming is real, that it is man-made, and that it is the greatest current threat to global prosperity and stability, the Koch brothers will spend money against them to fund a primary challenge. This goes double for Republicans from conservative states. They know from the experience of their defeated colleagues that the Koch brothers will primary them if they stray from climate denial orthodoxy, and that the biggest threat to their reelection comes not from Democrats, but from being outflanked to the right by their own party. A Republican friend once said to me, "The easiest person to fool is yourself." I know that there are a few of my friends on the other side of the aisle who do sincerely believe that climate change is somehow a hoax, that God wouldn't let us destroy our planet or some such nonsense. But I think the rest of them know that sea level is rising for a reason other than God's benign and fundamentally incomprehensible whim. That's why during hearings in the Energy Committee, when Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz would testify about research on renewable energy, energy efficiency, and energy storage technologies, my Republican friends didn't yell at him, "Why are you wasting so much money on this renewable stuff when we're the Saudi Arabia of coal?" No, I watched my colleagues closely, and behind their eyes I could see them thinking, "Oh, thank God somebody's doing this." One of the reasons I was so hoping that Hillary Clinton would win the election, aside from, you know, all the other things, is the clearest path to combating climate change ran through the Supreme Court. Overturning Citizens United would help break the Koch brothers' stranglehold on the Republican Party, and without that threat, some of them might be convinced to join the rest of the Senate and the rest of the world in trying to actually address climate change. But that doesn't look terribly likely right now. Having successfully blockaded President Obama's Supreme Court nominee, the extremely well-qualified and widely admired Judge Merrick Garland, Republicans succeeded in preserving the right to fill that seat for the next president, who did not turn out to be Hillary Clinton. So that's going to be a problem. Worse, the current president, real estate developer Donald Trump, has signaled that he doesn't intend to be part of any climate change solution. This is a guy who said that climate change is a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese. Why would they do that? And why am I even trying to find any speck of logic in anything he says? The thing is, it's not what Trump says that matters, it's what he does. And the first thing he did on climate change was to appoint a bunch of climate deniers to key posts. He picked a guy to run the Environmental Protection Agency, who made his bones as Oklahoma's Attorney General by suing the Environmental Protection Agency. And to succeed nuclear physicist Ernest Moniz as Energy Secretary, he picked Rick Perry, who famously blanked on the name of the Department of Energy when he was trying to include it in a list of cabinet agencies he wanted to get rid of. Maybe the president is just a big fan of irony. But more likely, these selections mean that this is now going to be even more of an uphill battle. But no less of an important one. Climate change is an existential threat. That's why the Pentagon considers global warming to be an urgent and growing threat to our national security. And it's why the Defense Department, the institution that uses more energy than any other institution in the world, is ordering the top brass to incorporate measures to combat climate change into virtually everything they do. War planning, joint exercises with allies, training our troops. They're even developing algal jet fuel. And by the way, that's the right pronunciation, algal. It's not algal, algal, even though it's out of algae. Algal jet fuel. So, what can we do? First of all, don't get discouraged. Recent advances in renewable energy, energy efficiency, and energy storage technology have changed the trajectory of our energy use. Even if it feels like Washington isn't rising to the challenge, states and cities and universities and researchers and ordinary citizens are finding ways to make progress. This is not a hopeless cause. Also, Koch Industries isn't the only big corporation in America. Scores of Fortune 500 companies, including, oddly, ExxonMobil, whose former chief executive is now Trump's Secretary of State, have endorsed the Paris Accords. They understand that this isn't just an environmental issue, but an economic one. There are going to be millions of good-paying jobs created by these new energy technologies. I want them created here. These CEOs want them created here. And maybe we can convince President Trump that they ought to be created here. I hear the guy is big into America winning. Well, staying in the Paris Accords would help America win the fight to own the clean energy economy. But if we're going to do this, our movement is simply going to have to get stronger. Those of us who've been fighting for a solution to climate change for years are going to have to redouble our efforts to mobilize the American people behind this cause. It isn't going to be a fair fight, not with Citizens United in place, but what choice do we have? As for me, I'm going to keep making the case to my colleagues. It may seem kind of bleak to say that the future of the planet rests in large part on the consciences of Republican politicians, but it kind of does, at least right now. The thing is, like me, many of my colleagues have grandchildren, and grandchildren can be a powerful motivator, even if they don't have a super PAC. I can't speak for the Republicans I serve with, but in 50 years, I don't want my three grandkids saying to me, "Grandpa, you were a senator and you knew there was climate change. Why didn't you do anything? Also, why are you still alive? You're 116 years old."